Today we're going to talk about ways to combine functions. Some of these are kind of trivial and some of them are subtle. We'll start with the easy ones. Let f and g be functions with the same domain s and the same range t. Assume that t is a set in which the indicated arithmetic operations make sense. Then we define f plus g of x to be f at x plus g of x, f minus g of x to be fx minus gx, f times g of x to be fx times gx, and f divided by g of x to be f of x divided by g of x, provided g of x is not zero. Notice that in each of these four definitions, we are defining a new function, either f plus g or f minus g or f dot g or f over g, in terms of the component functions f and g. Just for practice, let's express a, the addition of functions, in the language of ordered pairs. And you, as an exercise for you, you could do the other three. Let us consider part A in detail. Now, f is a collection of ordered pairs in s cross t that satisfy the conditions for a function, and so is g. The function f plus g is given by the set of all s, t plus t prime, where s, t is in f, and s, t prime is in g. So I hope this makes sense to you here. If you think of a function as ordered pairs, then you would like to know what function f plus g is, and we've just described it explicitly. Expressing the other combinations of f and g is quite similar, and you should be sure to do the corresponding exercise yourself. Example, let s equal t equal the real numbers. Define f at x to be x cubed minus x, and g of x to be sine of x squared. Let us calculate f plus g, f minus g, f times g, and f divided by g. F plus g of x is x cubed minus x plus sine of x squared. F minus g of x is x cubed minus x minus sine of x squared. F times g of x is x cubed minus x times sine of x squared. And f divided by g of x is x cubed minus x divided by sine of x squared, provided x is not plus or minus the square root of k pi. And that's just because when x is plus or minus the square root of k pi, then x squared is k pi, and sine of that x squared is 0. And we don't want to divide by 0. A more interesting and more powerful way to combine functions is through functional composition. So this is the more subtle way of combining functions, but it's very important for this book and very important for the development of our ideas. Let f from s to t be a function, so s is the domain, t is the range. Let g from t to u be a function, so for g, t is the domain and u is the range. Then we define for s and s the composite function, g composed with f of s is f of s. We call g composed with f the composition of the functions g and f. Notice in this definition that the right-hand side of our equation always makes sense because of the way that we have specified the domain and range of the component functions f and g. More precisely, the range of f is t, and the domain of g is t, so they match up. So, example, let f be a function from the reals to the non-negative reals, given by fx is x to the fourth plus x squared plus 6, and let g be a function on the reals on the non-negative reals to the reals given by g of x is the square root of x minus 4. So we can consider g composed with f because f takes values in the non-negative reals and g is defined on the non-negative reals. So g composed with f of x is f of x, which is g of x to the fourth plus x squared plus 6, which is the square root of x to the fourth plus x squared plus 6, take away 4. And as you stare at this equation, what you should notice is that x squared plus x plus 6 is bigger than or equal to 0. In fact, it's bigger than or equal to 6. So the square root of that expression makes good sense. And that's why the composition works. In this particular example, f composed with g also makes sense. F composed with g of x is f of g of x, which is f of the square root of x minus 4, which is the square root of x minus 4 to the fourth power plus the square root of x minus 4 squared plus 6. And all those expressions make good sense, of course. It is important to understand, and you see it explicitly in this example, that When F composed with G and G composed with F both make sense, they will generally be quite different. And you can compare the two formulas here and see that they're very different. It is a good exercise in the ideas of this chapter to express the notion of functional composition in the language of ordered pairs. Why don't we do that? Let F from S to T be a function, and let G from T to U be a function, then F is a subset of S cross T, and G is a subset of T cross U, both satisfying the standard conditions for a function. Now, G composed with F is a set of ordered pairs specified by G composed with F equals a set of all S, U, where S is an S, U is an U, and there exists a T in T, so that S, T is an F and T, U is in G. So you'll want to think about this for a few minutes to understand what's being said here. S is the domain element for G composed with F, and there is a T, so that F maps S to T, and there is and that for that very same T, G maps T to U. Example, let F from the reals to the reals be given by F of X as sine of X to the fifth, and let G from the reals bigger than or equal to 1 to the reals be given by the fourth root of x minus 1. We cannot consider G composed with F because the range of F, which is the interval minus 1, 1, does not lie in the domain of G. However, F composed with G does make sense because the range of G does lie in the domain of F. And F composed with G is the sine of x minus 1 to the 1/4 power raised to the 5th power, which is the same thing as the sine of x minus 1 to the 5/4 power. Here's the new definition. Let S and T be sets. Let F be a function from S to T and G a function from T to S. We say that F and G are mutually inverse, provided that both F composed with G of T is equal to T for all T in capital T and G composed with F of S equals S for all S in capital S. We write G equals F inverse or F equals G inverse in these circumstances. We refer to the functions F and G as invertible. We call G the inverse of F and F the inverse of G. So it's always good to have a concrete example to illustrate a new idea. Let F from R reals to the reals be given by F of X equals X cubed minus 1, and G from the reals to the reals be given by G of X is the cubed root of the quantity X plus 1. Then F composed with G is the cubed root of x plus 1 all cubed minus 1, which is x plus 1 minus 1, which is x. So that's half of the condition for invertibility. And G composed with F of x is the cubed root of x cubed minus 1 plus 1, which is the cubed root of x cubed, which is x. And that's the other half of the invertibility condition. So G is equal to F inverse, or if you like, F equals G inverse. The idea of inverse function lends itself particularly well to the notation of ordered pairs, for if F from S to T is inverse to G from T to S, this means precisely that every ordered pair S, T in F corresponds to an ordered pair T, S in G, and conversely. Now, it's important to understand that not every function has an inverse. For instance, let F from S to T, suppose that F and S equal T and also F and S prime equals T, with F, S and S prime being different. So in other words, F is not 1 to 1. If G from T to S, then G of F at S equals G at T equals G F at S prime. So it cannot be that both G at F at S equals S and G at F at S prime equals S prime, because they're both equal to the same value G of T. So if F is not 1 to 1, F cannot have an inverse. Put in other words, a function that does have an inverse must be 1 to 1. On the other hand, suppose that T and T, capital T, has the property that there is no S in capital S with Fs equals T. In other words, suppose F is not onto, then in particular, it could not be that F of G at T equal T for any function G from T to S, so F could not be invertible. We conclude that a function that does have an inverse must be onto. Example, let F be a map, a function from the reals to the non-negative reals defined by F at X is X squared. Then F is onto, but F is not 1 to 1. It follows that F cannot have an inverse. And indeed it does not, for any attempt to produce an inverse runs into ambiguity that every positive number has two square roots. Now let f from the non-negative reals into the reals be given by f and x equal x squared. Then f is 1 to 1, but f is not onto. In particular, f does not take the value minus 10. There certainly is a function g from the reals to the non-negative reals such that g composed with f equals of x equals x for all x in the non-negative reals, namely g of x is the square root of absolute x, but there is no function g from the reals to the non-negative reals so that f equals g of x equals x for all x. So we have established that if f is a function from s to t and it has an inverse, then f must be 1 to 1 and onto. The converse is true too, and we leave the details for you to think about. A function f from s to t that is 1 to 1 and onto, and therefore invertible, is sometimes called a set theoretic isomorphism or a bijection. Those are commonly used terms, and we'll see them in the future. Example, the function f from the reals to the reals given by fx equals 3x plus 5 is 1 to 1 and onto. You can check that for yourself, or look at the graph, which is just a straight line that runs diagonally. Therefore, it is invertible. To find the inverse, we consider the equation f composed with f inverse of x equals x, or f of f inverse of x equals x, and we can write this out as 3 times f inverse x plus 5 equals x. Solving for f inverse x gives f inverse x equals x minus 5 over 3. Check for yourself that f composed with f inverse of x is x and f inverse composed with f of x is x. The function f of x equals x cubed plus 1 is 1 to 1 and onto, therefore it is invertible. To find the inverse, consider the equation f composed with f inverse of x equals x, or f of f inverse of x equals x. We may write this out as f inverse of x cubed plus 1 equals x, and solving for f inverse of x gives f inverse of x is the cube root of x minus 1. In the next example, we use ideas from calculus. Let f of x equal x cubed plus x. Then f prime of x is 3 squared x squared plus 1, which is positive for every x. Therefore, f is strictly increasing, so it is 1 to 1. Also, f goes to plus infinity as x goes to plus infinity, and goes to minus infinity as x goes to minus infinity. So if you draw the graph, you see that the graph goes from the far negative left down to the far upper right. So you could see just from the picture that f is invertible. It would actually be quite difficult to solve the equation f composed with f inverse of x equals x, and we shall not try to do so. It's difficult because it's a cubic equation. Example, the function f from the reals to the reals that is given by fx equals x cubed is a bijection. You should check the details of this assertion for yourself. The inverse of this function f is the function g from r to r given by gx equals x to the 1/3. We leave it as an exercise for you to verify that the composition of two bijections, when the composition makes sense, is also a bijection. And that is the end of today's lesson. Thank you for listening.